This is Ozarks at Large. You may think you own all the music the Cate Brothers Band has recorded and released. Ernie and Earl Cate are legends here. The twin brothers played music together in high school around Northwest Arkansas, achieved national prominence with their top 40 hit Union Man. It hit number 24 on the Billboard charts in 1976. The Cates appeared on Austin City Limits and American Bandstand. They toured with Rick Danko, Levon Helm, and others as a reunited version of the band. You may know all of that. But did you know there is a new addition for your Cates collection? Music recorded in 1982 when the Cates were between record contracts.
I know that woman, she looks so fine. But let me tell you, it's a waste of time. She may look just like a perfect lover. Can't judge a book by looking at the cover.
That song, titled Don't Need a Woman Like That, was recorded by the Cate Brothers Band in Malibu, California, at the influential Shangri-La Studios. That studio has been the recording home for Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, Van Morrison, recently Adele. On this 1982 recording, the slide guitar, played by Bonnie Raitt. The session was the idea of Randy Stratton, himself a Northwest Arkansas guy who had moved to California in the early 80s to get closer to the record industry. He encouraged his friends to head west to record a demo that would be an effort to get a new contract for the Cate Brothers Band. This, however, was at the height of the disco era, and straight-ahead rock and roll was a hard sell. Bonnie Raitt, hard as this is to believe now, was also about to be dropped from her label. So, over the past 32 years, those four songs recorded in California have faded into obscurity. Except Randy Stratton all these years kept the cassette recording, and now the music is available to the public. This week, Randy Stratton and Earl Cate came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about the recording, the history of music in Northwest Arkansas, and their friendship. I asked them how long they've known each other.
For a long time. I met, of course, Earl. The guys through my dad, who was running the rink and stuff back
the
then.
In the early 60s.
Yeah. Just as I grew older and stuff, I started getting into music and all the good bands coming out the rink and stuff. Of course, the Rockwood Club before that. But when I, you know, as I got older, I started really knowing kind of more what the heck I was liking it, why I was liking it. You know, because the Cates were always right there doing their thing, and I was always impressed with the fact that they, were able to get the following with their own music. I mean, they played some good covers and stuff too, but you know, they had their own thing going. I think Metro Media.
That was the first label, yeah.
Yeah, was one of the first things that caught my attention with their recording accomplishments, and so it just got to be friends over the years, and I kind of wanted to get involved somehow and bookings, trying to help out where I could. They already had their network of place to play, so I found it as my job to go out and try to find other places out there to you know, some new fan base, whatever.
New venues.
Yeah.
So you knew each other here in Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah.
In the early 60s, but this, I don't know if I call it this new EP, this just released, this just finally released CD, this is when you were all in California together, right?
Yeah.
Some 20 years later.
Well, actually, I moved out there, set up my operations out there so I could be close to the record business. They still lived here. They had already been out there previous years to record their projects they had with Electrocytum and stuff, but I decided to get out there and see if I could get in the middle of trying to help, you know, secure some recording contracts, go in that little area. I'd always promoted concerts and booked entertainment and ran the rink there with my family. But so I went out there to try to get something started, and that's where when Larry Samuels and Rob Fraboni were running the Shangri-La Studios, they were really interested in getting them out to try to do some of the list of tape of some of their
some demos.
Latest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they worked out a deal. Rob Fraboni got a hold of Earl and Ernie and worked out a situation where they'd come out there for about a month to play or to record.
And play, so.
Yeah, I booked them some weekend jobs there while they were playing on Friday and Saturday. They'd go play these dates just to kind of supplement the cost of the trip, you know. And that worked out good, too. They had a couple good rooms to play. We'd rotate them Fridays and Saturdays, and then they'd be in the studio from Monday to.
It was kind of in a lull period there. We'd been p- playing where we still were with Lebon Helm. You know, we were touring with him a lot, but we didn't have a record deal at the time, so we had some time off there in the summer, so we ran out there, gave it a shot. Shangri-La is a pretty famous studio. Anyway, it went well. It's just that was kind of the disco peak of the disco era, and it was hard to get a deal. I mean, Bonnie Raitt, you know, who played on the tune, she was having trouble at the time too. I think with record companies, they were giving her one more chance.
One more chance.
Proved them wrong eventually. But
did you know what songs you were going to record when you headed that way?
Pretty much, we had five or six. We just did four on this. But we never anticipated this coming out, but Randy found the cassette, we didn't have the masters, so it sounded pretty good. So, I mean, of course, it was done analog originally, and Rob was a great engineer, so he said, why don't we just put it on CD, because nobody's heard, that stuff. There's one song I think we had recut on another CD, but other than that, it's stuff people haven't heard,
So you found the cassette.
Yeah, I had my cassette. I held on to mine because it was something I really cherished. They've done so much music themselves and had so much going on somewhere along the line. They didn't have theirs available at the time, but I had mine to go to Darren Novotny, a friend of ours up in Springdale. And, of course, everything had gone digital by that after all these years. So I took it to him and said, is there any way you can clean this up or see what we can get out of this? Of course, it was mind-boggling what he was able to do. I mean, Darren's talented at that anyway, but it really kind of blew me away.
Well, I mean, a cassette, there's always the chance the cassette is, cassettes were not the most durable.
Oh, no. I mean, the possibility of it even being still listenable is kind of...
Yeah. In fact, the last song, there's this wobble.
There's a little bit of tape warble on the last tune, but it's not bad,
Yeah.
But that was kind of a peak of the analog... before everything went digital. And in fact, when we were in Miami, when we did our last CD for Atlantic, they were experimenting with digital, and some of the, like Tommy Dowd produced the record, and they were talking about, what do you think of digital? I said, I don't know, it's kind of a bionic hole there. It's not the same. It doesn't have that warmth or presence that analog has, which is true. Anyway, I remember that situation, the kind of monitors they used back then, when we did some of the mastering and the mixing in the studio where Fleetwood Mac had did their stuff, and it's like you could hear that, that's what that sound, why it sounds like that,
That signature sort of sound for a studio.
Especially in California,
Was that on Atlantic, right? The one with Dowd?
Yeah, Tommy Dowd produced the one on Atlantic. Yeah. The other three were with Electro.
Electro Asylum, yeah.
Which, I mean, there are going to be some young people listening to this conversation. Electro Asylum was huge.
Oh,
Jackson Brown and
the
I think
Eagles.
Linda Ronstadt. Eagles, yeah.
Yeah, it was a hot label.
Joni Mitchell.
It was a hot label.
Queen.
That's right. They were
We toured with them.
Those guys.
You toured with Queen? I did not know that.
The album came out in 75 in November, so there wasn't much time left in that year. So it came the first of the year in 76. The record company said, we need to put you guys on tour to promote your album. But there was nobody that compatible that was going out in January except Queen, Night at the Opera. So they put us on tour with them. We started on the East Coast, and we actually played all the way to California on their tour. And it wasn't a great combination style-wise, but it worked out great because every time we go to a new town, the first place we go is a radio station. And, they'd play our record and interview us, so we got a lot of boost from that. And I think that's what broke the record.
What I love about this, hold on, there's a saxophonist.
Yeah.
Whose name has kind of evaporated.
Who it was.
It's embarrassing. The guy was a great guy. I know his first name was Tommy. And I know that he did some fill-in for Mick Gillette with Tower Power when he wasn't touring. I remember those parts, but
I can't remember.
And he did his little part and left, and as years went on, I just kind of, the name faded for as far as the last name. I had looked for all my notes trying to find, what was that guy's name? And so I even contacted Bonnie, Kathy Kane, her manager, and tried to get word to Fraboni, and we never got any word back on who it was, Nobody.
They probably didn't remember.
Yeah, they probably got 32 years, lots of memories are lost.
Right, right.
So we just kind of put down session, studio session guy, whatever we put.
Fourth of July Friday in Bentonville.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to be playing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Downtown Bentonville.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice thing. Earl and them played it last year, and they had a good crowd. I mean, I don't know how it'll be in the fourth. A lot of people might be going to fireworks and stuff, but I think it'll
hopefully, yeah, they'll hang around for the music and then head on over. I'm sure they'll give them a little break. Knowing that's going on, they'll give a little break for people to get be able to get over to the firework area to do that. Sure, they'll have a little pause there to do that. So,
I want to ask you, I mentioned younger listeners. There was a time when labels were supreme, and you knew which artist was on, whether you were a DJ, a musician, or just someone who bought records.
That's right.
You knew who James Taylor was on. You
that's
knew
right.
who.
Yeah.
And that's completely.
It's pretty much gone.
Yeah. It is. It's. I can tell you some. And some are starting their own. Or it's got so big. Some are starting their own label. I think Bonnie's got her own, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She's kind of like what Madonna did her own thing too. And, yes.
Plus the fact we all know that because of the digital technology, you don't have to rent the $200 an hour studios anymore. Kids do their stuff at home on the computer and.
Yeah.
And then just throw it out there.
Oh yeah, throw it out on YouTube. And,
finally, I'm too young to remember the Rock House.
Rockwood.
Okay. Because I didn't get to Fayetteville till 1981. Mm-hmm. What was that like inside? I know what it looks like on the outside. What was it?
It was concrete floor.
Yeah,
and
a couple levels.
It's kind of split level. There was a steakhouse on the left side.
Yeah, people don't know that was Faye Jones' first project.
Yeah.
He did that while he was in college.
Yeah.
Yeah. He used to go down there on the weekends and collect his fee. But yeah, that has a lot of people don't know
we
that.
When my brother and I were in high school, we'd go down there like and drive behind it because we weren't old enough to get in or anything and listen to music. You may hear like Jerry Lee Lewis or somebody like that playing. And of course, the Ronnie Hawkins, he bought in, him and Donnie Stone bought the club. And so he'd bring the band down about every 3 or 4 months and stay a couple of weeks or sometimes stay longer than that. But.
Yeah, he put my dad in charge of handling the bookings and he scheduled everything in. And, of course, Roy Orbison. So he gets some pretty good people that were just up and coming. Of course, I was real young then, but I remember coming by to get paid every Sunday at our house. Who are these cool guys? I was thinking to myself.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I remember first we got out of high school. We played there. I think it was that summer we got out of school, we played at the Rockwood and never played in a club where they had beer, I said, well, this place smells bad. But it ended up, and when Ronnie come to town, he'd always bring his guys down and say, I want you to hear these twins, whatever.
Yeah. Ronnie would, he'd audition, didn't he? The story is, anyway, my dad, I heard from him, too, he'd audition people to come in. So a lot of these Tulsa guys would come in. Leon Russell, the story has it, came over to audition, and he went by
Russell Bridges
then, like Conway Twitty, who played there often, was
Harold Jenkins
in the Rock Houses. But the word has it that Hawkins told, listening to a little bit of Leon stuff, said, get off the stage, Bridges, you're not worth a beep. So he didn't pass muster for the audition. At least that's what the story, how the story goes. I thought
things worked out.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, he was only like, I guess, 15 or somewhere in that range back then. But
I know Levon and Robbie took Ernie and I or met us down at the Deluxe and sat down and talked to us. They wanted to hire me to play bass and Ernie to play keyboard because they were having trouble. They were changing bass players and whatever, but we didn't want to do it. We were just like 18 or 19 years old.
Earl Cate and Randy Stratton talked to me earlier this week about Robbie Robertson, Ronnie Hawkins, and the still-standing Rockwood Club that's in South Fayetteville, as well as the finally released four-song Cape Brothers Band CD called The Malibu Sessions. Those songs were recorded in 1982 and have remained unreleased until now. You can find the CDs at any live show of the Cates or Earl and Them, and soon the music will be available at retailers like Sound Warehouse in Fayetteville and online at services like CDBaby.com and iTunes. And by the way, the Cape Brothers Band will perform at 6:30 tomorrow night in downtown Bentonville as part of the First Friday celebration in Bentonville. This is Ozarks at Large.